Production. Recorded live.
Okay, good evening, everyone. On the surface, it looks like it's been... Hold on a second. All right, we seem to have a problem. Hold on a second. Can the people on this recording hear me? I'll just allow chat for a second. Can you hear me? I got a message saying you couldn't. All right. Sorry. Let's resume. Okay. Where was I? Okay. Yeah. So it looks like it's been a couple of turbulent weeks. As many of you know, I'm closing the old site down. I'm going to have to talk about that tonight. I'm going to lead off with a talk about the issue of coercion. Then, after an intermission, I'll talk about the site. Then I can take questions and comments. So let's get started. Tonight, I'm talking about the company you keep and other tools of coercive persuasion. Being targeted is a lot like being trapped in a conventionally abusive relationship. One of the first things the dominant partner in an abusive relationship does is to isolate the victim. Isolating people makes them easier to control. Once the only person in your life is the abuser, once the abuser is the company you keep, his or her control over your life is nearly absolute, with very little effort. The company you keep plays an important role in targeting. When you're not aware of any other targets, the company you keep is them, the hostiles, or the people you think of as hostile, who are sending you manipulative, threatening messages, or just flat out torturing you. Once you are aware of other targets, those targets themselves become the company you keep. One question I want to raise tonight is, has anything really changed, or is the company you keep still controlling you? Chances are you wouldn't be here on a call like this one if you weren't targeted. So you're being coerced into showing up here. Chances are you wouldn't be interacting with many of the people you meet on calls like this one if you weren't targeted. So you're being coerced into interacting with them. The company you keep is having an effect on what choices you have. Your personal decisions may look like they're of your own free will, but the choices you select from are, very likely, false choices themselves. And let's make this clear, it is coercion. If you're being threatened with punishment, if you don't take a course of action, you're being coerced into acting. If you're being tormented and someone offers you relief, or the promise of relief, if you do what they say, that's coercion as well. If you're being forced to listen to a group of people and consider their ideas to the exclusion of everything else, you're being coercively persuaded. Sleep deprivation is also coercion. You're being robbed of your mental ability to freely consider alternatives. I'm not singling anyone out here. It is incredibly difficult to not have coercive relationships under the circumstances. You're doing things you wouldn't be doing. You're advocating books and authors you wouldn't be advocating. You're associating with people you wouldn't ordinarily associate with. You're thinking about matters you wouldn't ever have considered if you weren't being coerced. You pick up ideas from the company you keep, including misconceptions. And those misconceptions are all-encompassing, including bad science, misleading framing, and unreliable testimony. If you act on those misconceptions, your actions are, again, the product of coercion. Here's one common misconception. There's a column A, targets, and there's a column B, perps. If you're in column A, you get a free pass on anything you do. If you're in column B, anything you do has a sinister purpose. The real world doesn't conform to the labels we put on it. I want to draw your attention to how ridiculous these labels look. What you can do is go onto a conference call and listen to targets complaining about perps. So just replace the word perp with infidel and perping with blasphemy. Here's a sample remark I've heard on one of these calls, with just a couple of words changed. The other day, I was next to my car, and a couple of infidels were standing in the parking lot, and they were looking at me, you know, the way infidels do. I shouted across the parking lot at them, "How much are you getting paid to commit blasphemy?" And those infidels looked away. I sure showed them. So, once you get past the labels, you can perhaps recognize that manipulative or controlling behavior can originate anywhere, not just the perps or infidels. And likewise, the labels you apply to people are also manipulative and controlling. You look at things differently depending on how they're labeled. Manipulative, controlling behavior can come from the company you keep, including your allies. It might even be coming from you. You have to be able to deal with it. There are, of course, the multiple channels of provocation that are used in targeting. You never could have anticipated that. You didn't know what was going on. It's okay if you overreacted. But you know about the tools and tactics now, especially if you sat through the podcasts. You should be able to resist their provocations. However, there are other forms of manipulation which can be virtually impossible to foresee. A great example of this is a magician who had a street act where he'd play several chess grandmasters simultaneously, flitting from board to board, and he'd beat several of them. The trick he used was he'd simply play the chess grandmasters against each other. He'd mentally pair grandmasters off and copy moves from one board to another. So really, they were playing against each other, and the magician was just the middleman. Against two chess players, no matter how good they were, he'd be guaranteed a win or two draws. A handler can manipulate people who are much smarter than him with very little effort because he has access to superior information or secret information channels. Of course, the handler runs the risk of the players figuring out what that information is, what those channels are. A lot of what goes into the selection of the company you keep involves giving you endless false leads and distractions, so you won't be able to figure it out. So the tactics of manipulation and setups are endless. It's not productive to run down a standardized list of ways that people can manipulate you, that is, giving you characteristics or identifying marks which you can take with you on a witch hunt. I've made it clear in a previous podcast that witch hunts are another pointless diversion in the targeting ecosystem. What I'll do is point out what it is within you that the company you keep is getting at to make you do what they want you to do, and how you can raise your standards to fight these things off. Isolation is an important element of control. Whoever's got you isolated can take advantage of you. Your moves are easier to predict. You're easier to track and watch. You can be fed whatever information the controller wants you to see. You can be physically isolated or socially isolated. You can be isolated even if it doesn't look to you like you're isolated because of the company you keep. If you're only interacting with a small group of people who profess to share your interests, you're isolated from all others. Whoever controls that group of people controls what you hear and see. He's controlling you. You might be isolated by choice. Maybe there's only a small number of sources you trust, like a couple of websites you go to or a couple of people you talk with on the phone all the time. If you interact with them to the exclusion of all others, if you trust their advice over all others, whatever they're made to see, you're made to believe. Maybe you have what you think is a close relationship with one person, and he's asking you to do pretty minor stuff, or he's feeding you minor scraps of information. But he's also in contact with lots of other people doing the same things with them. You're isolated from that person's master plan. You can't see what he's getting everyone to do or why. So they're getting at what you see and hear. That's an important aspect of manipulation. But they're also getting at your emotions. These are pretty basic. Fear and anger are the fundamental ones. Everybody has a few hot-button topics. TIs have more than most. But it's not reasonable to expect everyone in the world to memorize long lists of words or phrases which they're not allowed to use in your presence. You're going to have to get over emotional reactions to provocations. It just makes you look bad when your TI, who's connected with a bunch of other people who should know better, and you should know better by now too, and you're constantly flying off the handle. And of course, I've seen this before, and I'm sure you have, these emotional outbursts can be manipulative. If you're trying to rally people to your side, or you're trying to get a person to back down, you can pretend to be outraged at some slight when the real motivation is something else. Any way you look at it, these outbursts I see from TIs who should know better don't look good. They're a mark of naivete, or a lack of self-control, or stupidity, or they're just insincere. Choose one. Now, if you're coming from a trauma-based background, the self-control issue is somewhat forgivable. You've got some real triggers to deal with. But you have to be able to get over them if you're going to function in society, and you do need to be able to reconnect with the real world at some point. What you want to do when someone pushes your buttons, when someone provokes a reaction of anger or fear, is refrain from speaking your mind to them, whether through email or voicemail or in person. You do want to speak your mind, but privately. You know, silently, so that nobody else can hear it, but still getting it out of your system. A silent sound. What you want to do, metaphorically speaking, is put that silent sound in a box and examine it later. Not too much later. You don't want the box to sit around unopened for several months. You want the content or the context to be fresh in your mind. So when you take your emotional reaction out of the box and examine it, you'll be able to put it together in context and study how you were provoked. Even if you don't want to introspect, you've still saved yourself from playing into the hands of an agent provocateur. You could use a diary to do this. Later, with practice, you could learn to do all this mentally. Solidarity is an emotion. There's actually a complex of behaviors, so-called tend and defend behaviors, which emerge from bonding with others. It comes from the oxytocin hormone. It's the mobbing hormone. So you have to watch for that as well. Are you being prodded into a friendship? Are you being made to take sides? Other tools of manipulation involve going after your resource base, your money, your property. You can also be coerced with pain or other disturbing sensations. Now, if you're made to believe the pain is coming from an attack that's doing lasting damage to your body, that's terrifying. I'm not going to take a position on the possible causes of these pains in this educational talk. But if, through a process of elimination, you've determined that the pain is coming from pain center stimulation in your brain, you should be able to tolerate a lot. There are patients of surgery who have suffered operating room paralysis. They were fully conscious and felt everything, but were unable to move while being operated on. So the pain from being cut open, having organs cut into, being sewn shut, seems like it should be terrifying and traumatizing. But they're going through exactly the same procedures as patients who are under anesthesia and don't feel a thing. These are beneficial procedures which promote healing. From the surgeon's perspective, he doesn't care whether a patient feels pain or not. The purpose of putting him under is so he won't struggle while being operated on. So it's almost like it didn't happen. And those patients did live through it to tell the tale. I'm not saying something like this is harmless or pleasant or that you'd want to go through it, but it's something to think about. Finally, a frequent strategy involves leading you to self-inflicted harm, like offering you false choices. No matter which choice you take, you end up hurting yourself, but you're led to believe it was all you're doing. If you complain, it's like you're complaining about yourself. It makes you look foolish. Mirroring and street theater tactics are another way to lead you to self-inflicted harm. Simple mimicry, the imitation of unflattering aspects of your personal life or your habits, is surprisingly effective. One reason being that when you complain about mimicry, in a sense, you're criticizing yourself. More self-inflicted harm. So let's end this on a positive note, a constructive note. How can you raise your standards to resist the coercion you're confronted with? With money and other resources, you're going to have to become much more careful. You can't spend money without knowing exactly what you're doing. The reoccurrence of self-inflicted harm in your life, rather than complaining about the dirty tricks, try looking at them as opportunities for self-improvement. Some guy or some small team of people is watching you 24/7, building a dossier, and offering criticism on your habits by leading you to self-inflicted harm. So consider the habits they're criticizing. Are you doing something wrong? Is there something self-destructive about them? Maybe you can improve your habits. But the most enduring source of targets' problems, especially once they connect with established groups, is the company they keep. I've already explained how most relationships targets form after being targeted are the product of coercion, and those relationships themselves can be coercive or manipulative in nature. To escape the negative effects of these coercive influences, you need to rediscover your standards. Chances are you've let your standards lapse because the people you're in touch with seem to be on your side. Maybe they are, but beware of negative character traits, which you should know to avoid in the first place, but now you're being forced or coerced into overlooking. Recognize when you're being manipulated. Is someone contacting you privately to ask you to do things which will have a public impact? Why isn't that person doing it himself? He may have a believable story, like, this is something only you can do. That's flattery. Or this is something he can't do. Again, flattery. Or you're doing it for the sake of the community. Guilt. Or you owe him one. Guilt. You should only allow yourself to do what your personal standards dictate you should do. Treat these requests as suggestions only. Think about it. Is this something you would do of your own free will? Why or why not? If you're being asked to do something and there's time pressure, don't let yourself be pressured. Stand back and look at what you're being asked to do. You have to set your standards for information handling higher. If someone is making it difficult for you to track down the source of information, you know, they might say, it's on the internet or I heard it somewhere, you have to discount the information. Make them work to find out where it is. If a tipster does provide the source, you can evaluate that person's information handling skills based on his choice of sources, based on how accurate the information is, whether it's misleading, and so on. You should be able to do the same for unusual words or phrases that come up in conference calls like these, or websites catering to people in your situation. Where do those words come from? Are you sure they didn't originate with the very people who are trying to mislead you? What is the truth behind those words? People who are bad at handling information have to be avoided. When you start associating with bad information handlers just because they seem to be on your side, if they have a track record of being misled or feeding you misleading information, well, who's to say they won't be misled about you due to their poor critical analysis skills? Don't let your standards slip just because your associates seem to be helping you out. The company you keep can help you or drag you into the gutter. Be selective. I hope you can take the advice in these podcasts, commentary from someone who's been through it, sees all this for what it is, and is ready to move on, and put the advice to work in your personal situation. Good luck. Okay. I would like to allow speakers at this time, if you would like to say anything before I move on to the next segment, please press star 8. Anyone? The people dialing in can't hear you in the chat room. You want to say something? Hello?
Okay, I'm going to give you a little bit of flattery, but not for coercive reasons.
All right.
That was just very well said. I think that's wonderful. Do you think that it's... I have one question for you about that. Do you think that it's, like, wrong for me or anyone to feel that, like, anyone who wants them or seems to want them to suffer or suggest that they're no good or a bad person, I see those people as no good and bad people or possibly what others would call perps or whatever. Is that wrong? Do you understand the question?
I'm not sure I do. Are you saying that you want to hurt people or people are trying to hurt you or?
Oh, well, no, I'm saying if someone seemingly wants to hurt you, me.
Okay, you know, yeah.
me as an example. Let's say I feel a threat from somebody. They want to hurt me, or they said something slanderous or nasty about me. I instantly say, okay, they're no good. They're no good. They're a bad person. I don't like them.
Well, you know, they shouldn't be part of the company you keep. I guess that's the way I would put it. You need to break contact with people who are determined to hurt you.
Okay. Thank you.
Yep. Okay. Nobody seems to be raising their hand, so I'm going to move on to the next thing, the next big thing. I'll open it up again, and we can talk all night if you want. Okay, the website. What do I have to say about the website? All right, there are several things going on. Lots of things, actually. Things haven't been going my way since I got back from the first bioethics conference. At the start of this year, I thought I would be able to hold out for at least 18 months, but no. Finances are a problem, and that's just the way it is. And I don't know what to say. It would have been nice if I could go on much longer, but it looks like 2 or 3 months at the most. And so it's really just a question of timing when I was going to do this. Other things have been happening. People will periodically get in touch with me, and sometimes it will be clear that those people were put in touch with me on purpose. And, just like some of you guys come onto my site and wonder, what's this guy's angle? Why is he here? Why is he being allowed to write this stuff when he's targeted or allegedly targeted? Well, I feel the same way sometimes about some of the people that I get connected with. And it's pretty obvious that I'm connected with them on purpose. I call these people that I get connected with on purpose, or that's the way it looks, hookups. That's the way I look at it. And what am I being hooked up with them for? Well, over the past few months, I've gotten an unusually large number of what I would call negative hookups, people who got in touch with me through my site or through these calls and took offense to something I said or something I wrote and proceeded to give me a good deal of grief. So that was another tip off that things were not going my way. Meanwhile, the site itself, as you know, it started about 18 months ago, and it's covered a lot of ground, starting with the gang stalking stuff and moving on to my current level of understanding. It covered a lot of ground, and it was just very disjointed. And honestly, I'd been looking at a rewrite from the ground up anyway. Even if I'd had the full 18 months. The problem is that because it covers so much ground, people, and I've been seeing this over and over again, people read whatever they want to read into the site. They pick out the parts that they like, and they ignore everything else. So I think I had a community of people who had very different views individually of what was going on, and they just liked my writing style, or they liked the writing style, the pieces they chose to pay attention to, and just kind of ignored everything else. I'm not sure how much of a problem that was, but I know it was a significant problem, and that's one of the things that was motivating a rewrite. I took a survey on electronic harassment and implants, a timeline survey, in early April. And I got results almost immediately that told me, wow, people are not going to like these results because I know what people want to think, and then there's what the results were telling me. So I pulled that survey, put up a new one with more clear wording around what I thought the controversial answers were, and I continued to get the same kinds of results. And the results on electronic harassment and implants made me look at things in a different way. And that also made me want to rewrite the site from the ground up. But, you know, people believe what they want to believe, and my results aren't going to be believed. So my advice to anyone who wants to replicate those results is to run your own survey, and it's never been easier to do this. Polldaddy.com makes it really easy to do surveys, and there are other sites too. And ask people not just like how long you've been electronically harassed or how long energy weapons have been used against you, but what caused you to believe that you were being attacked with da 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 da. And you're going to get some interesting results. And that's all I'm going to say on that, at least on this call. But I don't think I'm going to get a chance to revisit the site in this incarnation or any other incarnation. Let me go on. I tried to make it a user-driven site because there's a real lack of good third-party data on the subject. So I was hoping that good information would emerge or a good view would emerge from the information that people volunteered. And I figured, you know, I could fuse these experiences that people volunteered to me into a coherent worldview. And I did make some progress with that with the survey results. But it's very hard to run when there's no money coming in and there's persistent efforts to disrupt it. And I do mean very persistent efforts. Part of the problem was moderation in the user comments. And moderation, that brings in its own problems. It means I'm exercising editorial discretion. From a legal standpoint, that means I own the comments. If someone puts something up on the site that causes someone else to want to sue, well, why did I approve that comment? Obviously, that was my comment, or I agree with that point of view. Also, when I moderate, I run into accusations of censorship, and some of these accusations have come from people who've been very energetic in accusing me of censorship. When you're running any kind of site, or even if you got email, you get spam, commercial spam. And commercial spammers, I find, really aren't that bad because they're looking for their payoff, you know, a fraction of a penny or whatever per spam message. And if they don't get it, they just move on to the next guy. They don't care about you. But ideological spammers are much worse. They do care about you. They want you to read it, and they want you to believe them. And I saw that on the site. There was one guy in particular who tried to post a comment or several comments, several low-content comments with links to his site. And he was posting them on every page on the site. So that was several hundred comments, one per page. And, of course, when I didn't approve them, he got really angry. And it should be obvious to anyone that if I let people do that, I just let people post as much as they want on every page with links to their site, you know, just so they can spam their site, my site would become useless pretty quickly. And I don't think that the site he was linking to, I don't think he lets people do that on his site. Another type of ideological spam you get, and you guys have seen this, the reply all flame wars, right? The flame wars that you get about, you know, what horrible people our leaders are. And those just go on for weeks, and they clutter everybody's inboxes. And you can't really ignore them because they're coming from people you recognize. So it's actually worse than commercial spam. And so I just want you to appreciate that it's not as easy as it looks running a site like that. If I don't moderate, well, again, that means the ideological spammers run amok, the trolls run amok, people tear into each other, and so on, and then I get called in anyway to moderate. I think it was a mistake to ever allow comments on the main site. I should have stuck with forums only. So the forum was actually an attempt to deal with the moderation problem, but it introduced its own problems. And the forum was pretty eye-opening for me. I'll just say that. As for the audience itself, it's a pretty small audience. You're not going to convince me that there's tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands or millions of TIs. I think any site in this area is catering to a relatively small pool of people. I think we're all poaching on a small pool of people. If it seems like the pool is larger than it is, it's because the people involved are making a lot of noise. And I've seen many sock puppets on my site, and I have to assume this is happening on other sites as well. So you're just not looking at very many TIs. I'm sorry to disappoint people, but that's the way it looks to me. I have tried to reach out to people who weren't aware. I did try to go that way with it, but these attempts to reach out just got me a very low-quality audience. Unfortunately, mentally ill people, and they do exist, they're out there, and guess what? They're searching for information on mind control on the internet. You know, that's one of the things they're going to be looking for. So when I ran an ad campaign on Google trying to pull in people looking for mind control, I got quite a few people who I would have to say were mentally ill coming into the site. The highest quality visitors came from referrals, you know, organic growth. So it's just a very small audience. And if I'm going to do a site, I need to get more results for the time. I need to get better results, or I guess more results for the time I put in. I need to get more leverage. In general, I think I've said everything I can say about the subject. You know, the bad guys have unlimited funding for their lives, but we have to say our piece and move on. I can maintain a static site at low cost, sort of like what I have now, maybe some additional information, basically indefinitely. It's just a yearly registration fee, plus maybe a CNAME, DNS entry, or budget hosting plan. That's no big deal. But anyway, any one of the issues that I've talked about is no big deal. But you put them all together, and I have some serious problems going on. And I can see quite clearly that I'm being forced off the scene, and I can't fight it, so I'm just rolling with it. So how does this connect with the fuss over the last week? Well, the site takedown was timed with the incident, so surely that must be connected. But no, it's not that simple. The answer is yes and no. Yes, I took down the site earlier than I otherwise would have, because it seemed to me that I had been set up. And when you're in the middle of a setup, you're going to be attacked from all sides. And I couldn't afford any distractions or confusion. I didn't want to maintain several lines of communication while dealing with the setup. I wanted to focus on that threat. But the answer is also no. It was a foregone conclusion that that site was going to be coming down because I couldn't afford it, and on several different levels, not just financially, but just in terms of time. I couldn't afford the drain on my energy. So if things seem to be going the opposition's way, well, that's just a testimony to how good you can look when events are going your way. In reality, my web presence was being snuffed out anyway. They had nothing to do with that, okay? Those guys are not guilty of that. But they did have a lot to do with the timing. So I hope this clears everything up. You know, except in the minds of the people who don't want resolution. You know, they'll never be satisfied with closure. They just want the Jerry Springer show and the conference calls every night. I knew from the beginning that asking for money to run my site was wrong. I hadn't formulated exactly why, but I knew that asking for fees would be exploiting my user base. And after tonight's talk on coercion, maybe you can begin to see why I'm in the right to do this. So putting all this stuff together, even with a sudden reversal of fortune, I'm going to have to stick with my plan of ditching AYT and moving on. So I hope that clears everything up. And again, if anybody has any questions, star 8.
I have two questions.
Yep.
Okay, first, what do you mean by sock puppets? And second, because I've heard you say that several times, and I'm just like, oh. But anyway.
Yep.
And then the second one is, are you planning on a different site, or are you just going to keep the static site? And
okay, well, yeah, sure. Let me.
What are your future plans?
Yeah, sure. Okay, that's fine. Well, a sock puppet, you know, if you put a sock on your hand, right, and then you move your hand around on it, around in it. It's like a puppet, right? A sock puppet is just like a style of puppet. But in internet parlance, a sock puppet is actually like a false front that you put up. Like during the incident, there were a couple of guests showing up in the room everywhere I went saying, "Oh my goodness, Jeremy, what a horrible person you are," right? And those could very well have been run by the people behind it. You know, there's no way for me to know, of course.
But there's
no way for me to know based on the information that I get in the chat rooms here.
That's what I thought you meant, because,
yeah.
You know, a sock puppet is something you put on your own hand and you say it with it's you saying it, but
exactly.
People
exactly.
are supposed to believe that it's the sock puppet saying it.
Exactly. Yeah, but those tactics come across very clearly on my site, especially when people are having arguments, that people would bring in sock puppets to attack a person, you know, that they were having an argument with. So people would materialize, that sort of thing.
Gotcha.
And it was quite obvious to me when that was happening. I could see the IP addresses. I could see the browser fingerprint and so on and so forth. It was obvious. Okay, so as for the future, what I'm planning to do with websites related to this, websites on related topics, well, I want to aim higher. And what do I mean by that? Well, I'm being vague on purpose, because what I want to get is more value for the time that I put in. If I'm spending, you know, 40 hours a week trying to get one guy to see the light, that's not very good use of my time. You know, I just have to say my piece and hope that guy will see it and maybe see some other people's commentary, and eventually he'll just click. TIs basically are on their own. They have to find their own path through the thicket of disinformation and lies. And I'm hoping that by talking about the disinformational aspect of targeting and the lies and the manipulation, I can get people to see more clearly how to cut through that thicket. But ultimately, that's a path that you have to travel. Nobody can lead you through it. So my research was very helpful in getting me to cut through that thicket. And it was helpful in terms of getting helping me to write about how other people should do it. But I've done all the research I can do at this point on the subject, and I have to move on. One thing I considered doing was a replacement site like AYT, but aiming at a much larger audience, a general audience. But I don't know if I'm going to get a chance to do that. But basically, what I want to do is aim higher, get more leverage, get more results for the time I put in. And I'm just looking at any way I can do that. That's all.
All right. Well, just good there. You're not going to shut down totally. Because
no,
I think I know I like what you're planning, and I think it's going to be good. Better than what you were doing before. Better for you and just your audience. So yay, props. I'm done. Go. Yeah, I think you have somebody else asking something.
Yep. Okay. All right, so I have someone from California raising her hand. Go ahead, California.
Yes, this is Bruno in California.
Hey, Bruno.
Hey, Jeremy. Yeah, I sent you an email earlier this week or last week saying that I felt that your site was the most intelligent, is probably the most intelligent one out there. And so, so I would like to echo, I believe it was Tammy who was just speaking, that, you know, you keep it up there, maybe in some form. Because when I first became targeted, I perceived this in what I call the classical TI sense, where there's the bad guys, the perps, and then the good guys, the TIs. And then it's within the last couple of years that, you know, I totally changed my perspective, and I see this primarily as a mind control phenomena that's being used on us, or almost entirely just a mind control thing. And I had wished that
Sorry, didn't mean to do that. Sorry, California. Go ahead.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, sorry.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Let me see. Where was I? I wish when I first became targeted, when I went to the web and first discovered this stuff, that there were some websites out there that discussed what I call the progressive perspective, which I believe is what you have, because almost all the websites, like the Catch Canada and so on, basically you focused on, the stalkers, the evil perps and all this stuff.
Right.
And it almost, didn't talk about the mind control. So I had wished, back when I had first gone to the web, that there was, some websites out there that spoke from a progressive standpoint. And so I think we need more of those out there.
The thing is, though, their program is going to change over time. I don't think they're going to leave it unchanged. So I can't give an exact roadmap for any given TI. What you see on my site right now is I'm putting propositions up there. I'm asking people to ask the question of themselves or to consider a proposition where what if the people around you have no idea what they're doing? Just treat that as a hypothesis. Does that make you feel better? I'm trying to get through to people who are still in throes of the whole gang stalking thing, because it's a brainwashing program. I think we're all in agreement on that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And the way you snap people out of brainwashing is, I guess, you have to get them to ask questions about their reality.
Yes. And that's a very frustrating thing. I have not myself been successful in that. And even back when I used to believe, when I was in the gang stalking mindset, a couple times people would come on the conference calls and say that they're not really perps, they're just mind-controlled robots. I didn't believe it. It didn't, strike home. So I think part of it is repetition, but basically you have to ask yourself the questions.
No, you have to find your own way out. That's what it really comes down to. No, nobody can tell you this.
Right.
You lecture people about this, and you get some really hostile reactions from people who are in throw to their lives.
Oh yeah, yeah. I mean, yeah. You're told. So yeah, it's. So I haven't, found a way to do it. All I can do is I can gently, throw this stuff out, and just very briefly. And mostly, a lot of TIs, aren't. But yeah. But the thing is, it's a challenge. And so to take on that, to try to, turn the TI community around, and I think that would be, that's what needs to be done for us to have more accurate perspective on our targeting so we could be more effective in our activism, and so that's a necessary thing. But it's a huge thing for somebody to bite off and especially when you have the entire mind control machine, working against you. And so you're basically going up against an army, or basically whoever's behind this thing. So you're really fighting the mind control, and of course they're going to throw all kinds of people at you, to try to use up your time. So one possibility to restructure your website would be to maybe change your perspective or focus somewhat, to get away from, having a comment section, because that can just, trying to convince TIs, and I haven't followed your comments hardly at all, so I don't know how successful you've been, but most TIs, they just want somebody to talk to, and so it's not a productive use of your time, I don't think, to kind of open yourself up too much. I've had a limit, the amount of time that I spend.
No, that's exactly it. yep, got a hostile reaction just now. But where was I going with this? Talking to people. Yeah, that is a problem, and I'm sure that everybody who makes themselves available to try to talk to TIs, they get this problem. you just get overwhelmed with people trying to communicate with you.
Yeah, so I would just suggest that instead of taking a really drastic action, assuming you don't unless if you're going to get a new website up really quick, instead of like totally shutting it down, just take, you know, which is a drastic thing, is to just rethink about how you want to manage that, and you know, eliminating your comments feature, is just one way of doing that.
Well, again, I just want to see more payoff for my efforts. And of course, there is the question of, can I even afford to make any efforts? I don't even know if I can do that. That's the problem. That is a problem. It's one of many problems that I'm having, right? So, I'm hoping that people can see what's happened in these conference calls and got the message from my website. And like you said, there's a progressive thing, but there's also a breaking people out brainwashing aspect, getting people to question it. I'm hoping people can see what I'm saying and pick up the baton and pass it on. But when I do something, I want to do a really good job at it, and that's time consuming. I'm really glad to see that more people are snapping out of this mindset that we have this and we have this and we have this, and these are totally separate things. It's all part of the same thing. I'm really glad to see that you understand that, and we're talking about it, and people in the chat room are getting it, most of them. And I think, you know, the awareness is spreading, but I have to tap out. I personally have to tap out. That doesn't mean that you can't continue.
Yeah. I've been trying to write an article called The Perks Are Masters of Deception, or I might rename it The Mind Controllers Are Masters of Deception. And I started about, I don't know, a year and a half ago, and I just discovered I have a hard time writing. I don't know if it's, you know, the mind control making it difficult for me to do it, so I haven't been too successful in it myself. Just talking about basically the same thing I think you're talking about, so that it's all part of the same thing. Like, I see all of the individual harassment that we're experiencing basically being a product of the mind control.
Right,
and that,
right.
You know, that's what it
means. And there's a more general set of techniques, coercive persuasion. But basically, they've got these great tools at their disposal, and they can brainwash you, you know, the program that I've described, but they can do lots of other stuff too. And that's why, you know, I think a lot of people who are coming onto these calls have been through this program. But they're going to come up with other programs. They're going to come up with other unique twists. I've been in touch with a couple of people, actually, who have been through a couple of really interesting variants on this. Really interesting. And it's stuff that I haven't seen discussed anywhere. Of course, there are other people who are not really connected with the TI community at all. They don't call themselves TIs. They call themselves UFO abductees. And that's actually a much larger population, I think. They certainly get a lot more attention.
There's a few activists that, you know, think this way we do. Cheryl Welsh being the most well-known. Monica Stolces in Belgium, in Europe, she basically says that everything like the UFO abductees, you know, the TIs, we're all basically the victims of the same thing.
Run by the same people, and it's just different programs. But you've got disinformation ecosystem, and they're trying several different things. I think the UFO stuff is really successful because people just want to believe it so badly, you know. And it helps sell science fiction movies, too. You know, there's a Hollywood tie-in. If you look at the UFO sites, they are much more popular than any of the pure mind control sites.
Yeah, I never thought about that. Yeah, you everybody's heard of UFOs. Nobody has heard of TIs. So that's almost nobody. So that's kind of interesting. That's interesting point.
Yeah, and like I was telling you, some of the things that I've been through mimic what UFO abductees have gone through. And were I to contact these researchers who are high up, they're in Hollywood, they're all over the place, they're well known. If I were to connect with some of those people and show them my visible implants, I could be on Dateline. But if I keep trying to be a target, I'm going to end up where I'm at right now, throwing up and sleep deprived.
Yep. I have to wonder if there are people affiliated with the UFO stuff who actually connected with the TIs people first, right? And then they said, wow, the UFO people have a lot more credibility. I think I'll go to them. I'm just wondering how many people out there fit that description. Because when you're going with the UFO explanation, you're going with what the CIA or Department of Defense wants you to do. So they're going to support you now. You there?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep, I agree. If you're a UFO abductee, you stand a much better chance at getting your implants removed, not being targeted again, because they don't want the UFO agenda isn't to have somebody who is again and again and again abducted. Otherwise they're going
to
get...
They want you to be abducted once, and then the rest of the time it's alien mind control.
Yeah, exactly. But then the aliens will back off because you've gone public or whatever. But they don't even use that in their programming. They'll just say, hey, we removed these implants and look at what blah, 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 blah. It fits into their agenda, which, of course, you don't want to do that. But at the same time, why wouldn't you want to do that? We're talking about quality of life here. We're being murdered when we're targets. Alien abductees aren't really being murdered like we are.
Yep. Okay. Oh, great. You still there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. My TalkShoe client seems to have frozen up. I'm going to see if I can get the next person on. Nope. Okay, I'm frozen. Okay, so is there anything else you want to discuss, Bruno? Because I'm probably going to have to sign out and sign back in.
Oh, sure. Yeah. I think what you said, Jeremy, about the UFOs. Yeah, it's it kind of expands your horizons on interpreting what the mind control can get us to believe. And I see that. I see it all just kind of on a spectrum. If you listen to TI stories, if you get into detail with even TI stories, you'll find out that no two TIs' harassment is exactly alike. It's all a little bit different. You know, some feel they're being subjected to
that's suggestive. First of all, that's not exactly true, right? Because there are going to be certain tactics that are shared between TIs, and I think that's because they're being run by the same people. I suspect that's what's going on. But ultimately there is, or at least I suspect there is, a human being behind it all who sets things up, and he's making the decisions about what to do. And sometimes, you can see that it must be a really boring job just sitting there watching somebody all the time, assuming they do that. And sometimes they have opportunities to get creative and they take advantage of that. Sometimes it's funny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing. Like if you're two employees at a gas station, you'll get really ridiculous when there's nobody around.
Yeah.
Like maybe you haven't squirt gun fights or whatever kind of thing, just to make it through your boring day. if you're sitting around watching somebody who I know I'm not very exciting, I wouldn't be very exciting to watch 24 hours a day. Yeah, then you're going to have to come up with stuff to entertain yourself. And if you're able to control me, then what better than to see if you can get me to do something ridiculous and have a great report for your boss if you're in a mind control intelligence field?
Yeah, I kind of, whatever I can do mentally to make things hard for them whenever they do these ridiculous things. It's kind of like what Jeremy was saying earlier. Oh, no, I don't know if he's exactly saying that, but whenever I have an urge to yell at my perps, I used to do it out loud, and sometimes I would take it out, you know, if I saw somebody, you know, that I felt was perping me on the street, but now I just do it entirely inside my mind because I've come to the conclusion that they can basically read our minds, and so there's no reason to speak out loud to them, and you know, so you can just you know, talk to them in your mind. So, but yeah. So whenever they do silly stuff with me, I kind of prodded them over the over the years, and kind of found out what kind of gets them angry, what doesn't. So it's
Well, yeah. If you want to talk to them, that's your prerogative. But it's probably best not to talk to them unless you got really something important to say.
The less
time you spend interacting with people who are trying to mess with your life, the better.
Oh yeah.
Of course, that leads many TIs to isolation in the beginning because they believe that the people messing with their life are their neighbors, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. We all know the story.
Yeah.
Hey,
okay,
I had one quick thing to say on what I was saying before, because I know you have another topic you want to go into tonight, so I don't want to tie you up too much. But
I do. Really?
Oh, I thought you did.
No. I'm not getting into accusations, recriminations, dredging up evidence, any of that kind of stuff. No.
Oh, okay. You decided
I'm not going negative. Nope.
Okay. All right. Well, then I'm wrong, but I did want to make this point anyway, and I'm sorry to interrupt because I kind of thought I might have had to. But the thing I was saying about the alien abductee thing, it's like, the thing that's kept me away from that crowd all along is that I know that what I've been involved in is non-consensual experimentation. It is not alien abduction. So it would be kind of a farce for me to get involved with those people. I would have to play a role. And that's why I don't do it. And I probably won't do it, even though it seems like a smart thing to do, you know, especially for somebody like me. But that's why I won't get involved with that. These are human beings. They're researchers. They're doing non-consensual experimentation, mm-hmm. unfortunately. But, okay, I'm sorry.
Okay.
I interrupted. Go on.
All right. There's someone else who wants to talk. Bruno, did you have anything else you wanted to add? I got someone in New York who's itching to chat. I was hoping to give someone else a chance.
Oh, not at the moment.
Okay. All right. If you want to talk later, just raise your hand with star 8. In the meantime, thanks for calling. And New York, you're on. Hello.
Hi, Jeremy.
Hey, Law.
Were you reading my mind? How did you know I was itching to chat?
Well, I saw your hand up there for some time, and my chat client was frozen.
Okay.
I couldn't do anything, yeah.
First of all, I'd like to clear something up with you. I was on Tammy's call on Saturday, and somehow my phone has been causing interference, and I heard you say that it was interference, and you said to Tammy, keep an eye on New York. And I'm just hoping that you didn't think I was doing anything on purpose.
No. We were actually discussing that briefly, and it sounded like there was microwave interference with your phone. That's what it sounded like, honestly.
I think what was going on was I was using a headset, and might have been causing the problem. I'm not using the headset right now.
Yeah, because you've been having that problem on a lot of calls, actually.
Right. I thought it was because it's a cheap phone, but it was the headset.
Oh, okay. All right.
Anyway, I hope you won't take offense at this question, but what actually has been your mission to, you know, with the website and all the work and research you've been doing?
Well, when I first got in contact with the other TIs, of course, I was extremely mad, just like everybody is when they first figure out what's happened. And I swore, I'm going to make these guys regret. I'm going to make these guys regret picking me. Yeah. So 18 months later, not a whole lot closer. But that was what made me dive into it. Later I got engaged with just many different aspects. Like I started recovering my programming skills. I started getting into the research aspect, untangling disinformation, and so on and so forth. So 18 months, I actually had kind of an idea of what was going on way back in 2009 when I started the site. Though the one thing I couldn't figure out was how people were was that people were not aware that they were being mind controlled. That had not occurred to me, because I assumed that if people were being mind controlled, they had to be aware of it. That was my assumption. But you know what I mean, right? That's what everybody kind of assumes if they just hear about the topic. So I assume that people were receiving these messages and were acting on them knowingly. So I was focused on uncovering the secret network of people who were receiving these messages. But then by mid-2010, I knew what the real answer was. And so I started writing about that. We were going into 2010, the mid-year elections, et cetera, et cetera. There was one distraction after another, you know, one thing after another to keep me in the game. The midterm elections in 2010, then the billboard stuff came along, and I was dragged into that. At that point, I was already beginning to have doubts, but I plugged away at it because it seemed like we were making progress. And I think that going to the bioethics conference was a good idea. It was a good thing for me, anyway. I'm on record now. My name's on record, and that's not going away. So they're going to find it harder to kind of disappear me now. So for that reason alone, it's worthwhile going and getting your name on the record.
Fine.
From that point on, I was just basically running on fumes. I didn't really have anything. I kind of understood everything that was going on from about mid-2010 on. And I had just been kept in the game by these distractions. So I guess you have your answer. Basically, it took me about 9 months to figure out everything. And everything after that was kind of like one thing after another kept me in until I was pushed out.
Right. Well, personally, I got so much out of your website. And yes, it's true that many of us, so I should say for myself, I knew nothing about mind control or that I was a victim of it. I see that so much more clearly now. And having said that I did get a lot out of it, I wonder if part of the problem you were having might have been coming from people who don't want you to clear our heads and see things differently. Have you thought about that?
I really don't know, but there's an agenda. There's always an agenda, and it can be hard to figure out what the agenda is, because with this intelligence agency stuff, there's cover story within cover story, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Like right now, everybody's kind of being pushed and pulled between Mr. COINTELPRO and Derek's group. And I'm wondering if there's some distraction or misdirection going on there,
uh-huh.
You know, if that's the agenda. Uh-huh. But of course, there's no way for me to know how this is all going to play out. But right. People who get in the way of the agenda, whatever the agenda is, they get flushed out one way or another.
Right.
I think that's what's happened. it has happened in the past and is happening.
Right. I have a question about implants. Is it, I don't know if you'll be able to answer this or not, but
I probably will not. Go ahead. Try me.
Is it possible to brainwash someone who's implanted more easily?
Well, you know, there have been, it really depends on the nature of the implant, right? If it's actually replacing brain function, right, hypothetically speaking, I'm not saying that this is actually happening, but like let's say that part of your hippocampus is replaced with a computer chip. Well, there have actually been instances recently where they've done experiments with rats that are implanted with chips and that have, you know, chips that replace part of their brain function. And yeah, they can basically program those rats. It's getting easier to do that even for civilian researchers. And so I have to assume that you know, the military, the DOD, and the CIA is all over that. I have to assume that they can that if it's possible that they were able to do it a long time ago.
Okay, that's helpful.
But it really depends on whether there is actually in my opinion, you know, I'm not a neuroscientist. In my opinion, it depends on whether part of your brain function has actually been replaced by a computer. But there's other stuff that can be done with electrical, just with pure electrical stimulation that we might not have thought of. Like unconsciousness is basically like electrical stimulation of a suppression function in your brain. And that also recently came out in a neuroscience article. So you can be driven unconscious by sending extra electrical current through your brain. That's what I got from the neuroscience article that I read recently.
Okay.
So, you know, there's all kinds of stuff about neuroscience coming out right now, which is interesting, you know?
I mean, what you just put out there as a possibility is really scary. Scares the hell out of me.
Yeah, we have no way of knowing, or at least some of us have no way of knowing if that's what's happened. Because if you've got some sort of experimental implant like that, you know, you're not going to be able to get anywhere near detection equipment that can pick it up. They're not going to let you. There might be people within our group. I think there's standard issue stuff, and then there might be some experimental stuff, and there might be people in the group who have the experimental stuff. It's possible. And the people with the experimental stuff, they're not going to be let anywhere near a doctor who can help them, in my opinion.
Okay. You know, I have something very serious going on right now in my own life around these issues we're discussing, but I really can't share it but I would love to share it with you at some point in time if possible.
You know my email address, and the flood of emails has pretty much trickled to a stop, so I can handle this.
Okay, and I just want to say thank you for all that you've done and given and shared and helped with. And, you know, all the best to you with whatever your future endeavors are.
All right. Likewise, Lola.
Oh, thank you.
I'm sure we'll meet again.
Okay.
Oh, by the way, that inspires me to say, hey, everybody, I'm interviewing Dr. Rebecca Carley on Saturday at 6:00 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You can do the math on your time zone if you're not in the East. And it should be awesome. And I'm going to keep that up, and I'm sure, Jeremy, you'll be there every Saturday, won't you?
Oh, good.
Yep, I'll be showing up.
All right, there we go.
Okay, so
we're not disappearing. Disappearing is the main point here.
Tammy, you always show Jeremy favoritism, that he gets to ask the first questions.
Well, he's my brother.
You know I'm just kidding, right?
I'm a fellow of that too.
I know. Yeah, he's my he's teacher's pet.
Yes, so I noticed.
Okay. All right. So let's move on. Thanks, Lola, for calling in. Let's move on to we got several more people actually raising their hands. So let's move on. Southern California, you're on. Hello?
Yeah, you know what? You're hitting it as a TI. The research that I've done always leads me back to neuroscience and neurotechnology. So the question is, and I proposed this to the FFCHS, instead of using the term mind control, let's get back with the science that's really happening, which is neuroscience and neurotechnology, and so the subsequent transcranials, which is outside.
Here's the thing. When you start using highly specific terminology, it kind of begs the question, how do you know that this specific technology is being used against you?
If you take the descriptions of what everybody is talking about and you look at the research and reports and journals that they're writing about what's taking place, you have these, I don't know if you ever listened to the TED Talks, TED Talks, and these are all the cutting-edge people who come together, and you have these neuroscience scientists coming on talking about all the things that we've already discussed as targeted individuals that nobody wanted to believe because we kept talking about mind control. But then they're coming out in these public forums as scientists. You know, they talk to each other within their own field. So what I'm saying is we are being specific about all the things that we're explaining, to include yourself, who says that you were implanted. Well, that's what they're doing. And why is it so hard for us to be able to try to at least tie it in somehow to say, look, we've got all these descriptions. Now we can tie it into this field of science that the medical journals are writing about. They're basically taking all of our all of us, and then they're writing their journals about what the findings are.
Okay. Well, we don't know if they're actually writing about us specifically. I think that this is a direction that enterprising I'm not sure if we can get the ship of TI state to change direction abruptly. I think there's a lot of momentum behind certain ways of thinking and so on and so forth. And I see that every time when I challenge.
But you understand where I'm coming from, though.
Here's what I'm saying. This is a great opportunity for an enterprising individual to try to connect the dots in their minds with what's happening to TIs. I'm not sure if you can get everybody to get on board with this, but individuals who want to go in this direction, there's nothing stopping them from setting up their own websites explaining this in terms of neuroscience, neurotechnology, and
nanotechnology. Because all of the nanotechnology is actually moving further from the, say, the larger size implants to the smaller size implants. And these were
I am not disagreeing with you. You know, I think that this, I've been saying for quite some time now that is the most likely explanation of what's happening to CIs. But unfortunately, it's very difficult for us to prove it. So this is an opportunity for enterprising individuals who are aware of these issues to step forward and say, this is what's being done to this group of people. And they just categorize it as mind control, but it's really this. This is an opportunity.
Coercive behavioral modifications through the use of magnetic stimulations, whether they're implanted or outside transcranial, and it has the ability to basically alter us in different ways. Whether it's not just the brain, but like you say, the pain stimulation, the little shocks and vibrations through the central nervous system.
I'm not disagreeing with you. There's I have not said anything that is disagreeing with your conclusions.
So are you saying that there are people, do you believe that part of your setup or this discrediting of you that you believe is taking place is because you're trying to move it towards the realities of science and technology that it's coming out all the time about the biometrics, the facial expressions, the emotive, the optical brain? I mean, all of this stuff. But what I'm saying is that why you're saying that you are on that track and that there's a large group that's not on that track, so you feel that they're trying to set you up because you're talking about science and technology?
I really don't know what's going on. All I know is that if there's an agenda and if there's a person in this group who's against that agenda, or who's threatening that agenda, that person tends to get shuffled out, in my opinion.
But you are talking about science and technology, though.
Well, yes, it's Edison, though. Actually, all these biometrics are running off the electromagnetic spectrum. That's how they run these devices, whether it's the scanners at the airport.
I am not disagreeing with you. Here's the thing, though, okay? 5 years ago or 4 years ago, you know, however long it was when active denial system was in vogue, so many people, even some people in this call right now, were absolutely convinced. They just knew they were being attacked with the active denial system. And now you just know something else. Well, how do you know? Should you step forward and say you're being attacked with this thing when 2 years ago you were saying you were being attacked with something else? The way it looks to these guys is you're seizing on this stuff, you know, that explains your problem that to them looks indistinguishable from mental illness. You prove that this stuff, we can prove that this stuff exists, but we can't prove that it's being used against us. So you can adopt the language of that stuff, and I think it's great that you are connecting these dots and you are finding this neurotechnology research, and you should definitely spread it around. People can take that and go to, say, for example, the bioethics conference with better terminology. Instead of saying I'm being mind controlled and gang stalked, they can say I have reason to believe that I have blah 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 blah, and there's no way for me to prove it. And I'm requesting an investigation. Hello? Okay. Well, he seems to have...
Are you there?
Yes, I'm there.
Okay. So what you're saying is that would be more in line with something that they would be willing because they know about it.
Well, you know, you can refer to stuff. You can refer to stuff that is out there and is being discussed, and you can use that. You can use that to support your case. Unfortunately, what you cannot do is you cannot say this is what's being used against me because you can't prove it. What you can say is that if there is indeed nanotechnology involved, then there's no way for you as an individual to prove it. Right? That's why you're going and requesting an investigation.
Well, yeah. I mean, if you can pull that every major university has major departments. If you have a Potomac Institute on policy that's looking at, they have a whole department that's running and working on neuroscience and neurotechnology. If you have the Department of Energy, which is Sandia Labs, saying that putting out the fourth decade of the mind, reverse engineering the human brain, gathering every type of scientist.
Well, we do know. Yes, I do know about all the stuff. You don't have to bring it up on the call. What you need to do.
If you knew about this, why in the beginning then, if targets were trying to desperately searching, why were you not broaching up the subject of neuroscience and neurotechnology?
Excuse me. Hello. I did not know about this in the beginning. I was not born knowing this stuff, okay? I didn't know about this in the beginning. What I did know at the beginning, I knew that some form of mind control or synthetic telepathy was involved, but I didn't know what form it took. And I was being sent on all the usual dead ends, right? I always see right side. Okay, but now we've got better information out there. Use the information. Nothing's stopping you from doing this.
But what I'm saying is that if you had already set something up that was giving prescient information, wouldn't it have been behooved all of us then with you having set it up to at least try to explain these terms to everyone without you believing that now you're trying to be set up and that's why you have to – I mean, I understand time-wise and money-wise, but you're saying that you've known about some of this stuff that you didn't bring up to the TIs that could have helped them do their own research, you know, on their own. I'm not trying to go against it, but I'm just saying that, you know, there's a lot of stuff that's out there. And if we're going to talk about mind control, let's talk about the science and technology that's out there that I've been able to find from government reports to it being considered a wild card technology. And that they have no idea what the implications of these things are going to be. And after these reports, they classify their information.
Okay,
so yeah, I'm finding a lot of stuff about the field, this particular field, to include nanotechnologies, and what all these people at these higher levels know about it. Now, you're right. Maybe I can't prove it, but you know what? If it's the fastest growing science and technology out there, if the Department of Defense is fully involved with it, then where are they going to get all their information? How are they going to calibrate their biometrics for their CCTVs that can do facial recognition and everything? So, all of a sudden, out of nowhere, it's, well, these people are trying to set me up, so I have to take down the website because they think. But what was it that you thought that was done? The other side thought you did. That would make you think that they were trying to set you up.
Yeah, Jeremy, just go into it, please. You have it all.
Everyone.
I really think you ought to do it. Just do it.
Just say it. You know, and instead of everyone having
go
to try
for
to
it, Jer.
You guys have enough issues on the desk.
Your presentation is awesome, too, so do it.
Great.
People want to know about this current ridiculous debarco, and or whatever the hell the word is. But the other side is speaking out ridiculously, and, you know, maybe you ought to speak out yourself, because this latest attack was the biggest one I think you've taken.
Yeah.
Publicly.
But Tammy, you also know, right, that, you know, this is not the way I want to go out, but going out attacking people, you know, regardless of what I think about those people, I just can't go out attacking people. I want to leave on a constructive note. You know, this guy on the call right now, I didn't catch your name, but in Southern California, you're getting all upset that. You know, I'm not exactly sure about what, but here's the thing. My website covered an enormous breadth of topics, right? And a lot of them were distractions from the conclusions that I was arriving at. And people read whatever they want into it, and there are people reading my website who still to this day are looking for, are writing down license plate numbers. You know, that's where they're at. And then we got other people who are looking for energy weapons. And we got other people who are looking for blah, 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 blah. Whatever you want, whatever disinformation campaign is out there, you got people looking for it. Unfortunately, if you cover a wide breadth of topics, you get distracted. And unfortunately, I cannot prove that nanotechnology is being used against TIs. I think it is the most likely explanation. I've been saying that for some time, and people don't want to hear it. Some people don't want to hear it. Yeah, there's actually two groups of people who don't want to hear it. There's the people who are looking for energy weapons, and there's the people who are looking for gang stalkers or cause stalkers. They don't want to hear this stuff. And I was getting bogged down by a lot of stuff, and I've talked about this before on the call. It wasn't any one thing. It was a whole bunch of stuff that culminated in the stuff that happened last week. But I've been kind of under siege since March, and it's just lots and lots of stuff, unfortunately. And I'm really sorry that I'm not saying, you know, that I'm not duplicating exactly what you want me to say on the static site right now. I'm really sorry about that. But I have to focus on what I feel I was doing the best job at, which was untangling this web or this matrix of disinformation. That's what I feel I was doing the best job at. And now you're saying, oh, my God, it's terrible that Jeremy isn't covering implants. Well, you know, this is great information, and I'm sure I will put it up on the website at some point, the static web page. But you guys have to run with it. I can't do it all. One person cannot do it all. Okay, we've got three people waiting. If you want to discuss this further later, we can. But in the meantime, we've got three people waiting, and some of them have been waiting for a while.
Okay, so that's fine. I'm not mad. It's more that I'm looking at it in terms of logic, I guess. You know, when you do accounting for a living and you're making a lot of money and then someone decides to go after you, you begin to wonder and you begin to follow the money trail. And the money trail leads me to this science and technology. and what it has the capacity to do. That's all I'm saying. But I'm not, you know, as far as attacking you, I'm not attacking you personally. I'm just saying that you, because your website was more prescient than everything, and I don't know what the other sides are, why they don't want to go further down this path. And it could be accumulation or combination of all sorts of, you know, different types of things that are taking place. But what I am saying is that it's basically to put the information out there is the only thing you can do. Is that what you're saying? Because people aren't going to believe that there's that many people doing this much work in these fields of science and technology, to include the Department of Defense in major huge ways. So I can run with it all by myself and then just come up with that. But if you are someone who already has a following, is what I'm saying, and you're getting that information.
I get this kind of reaction all the time. You have a popular site. Why don't you put up there what I want you to put up there? And that's actually a form of, you know, that's actually a form of manipulation that I've gotten a lot, especially in the last few months. Why don't you put up there, you know, my point of view? Why aren't you covering
this? I'm not asking you to put up you just said yourself that you have done a lot of research yourself. This is where you're coming from. This is your perspective in terms of your implants or where it might be coming from. Not that you can prove it, but I'm saying that I'm not telling you anything that you don't already, you already admitted to having known. So what I'm saying is I'm not forcing you or asking or telling you anything or putting you on the spot. I was just asking the question, and you answered the question by saying, yes, you know, as a matter of fact, I have done some research on this. It appears to be a more logical explanation, but not, I'm not forcing you or telling you that you have to do anything. So that's your projection and your perception of what you believe I'm saying from whatever else. But if you had known it, like I'm saying, wouldn't it have behooved all of us who were searching, or maybe not necessarily myself, but who were looking for answers, who were in a desperate situation, to give them a point of origin to say, okay, no, I may not be able to help you, but go do some research on this. It might give you a better explanation.
Well, I think what Jeremy was saying before plays here, is that if you believe that is a wonderful line of research, then you should definitely get that word out there.
Well,
take
that's
what
that I was
saying.
That's what
it.
I thought I would be able to do by having websites that were already set up, and then all of a sudden they're disappearing into thin air.
Well, I think
start
your own website. You know, like do your thing. It's a great cause. What you're talking about is wonderful. So do something with it, or find somebody who can to help you do something with it. Right now, like he was saying earlier, he is in a financial crisis in his personal life. So keeping the website up, it's not prudent.
Well, again, it's a combination of things. It's not just one thing. It's also the fact that people were just taking away from the site whatever they wanted to see, and that's a problem. And I really need a thesis. That's what I want. Instead of telling people, here's a bunch of results, I would like to be able to tell people, well, here's what it is. Unfortunately, I can't do that. What I can tell you is, here's a disinformation matrix, and here's what it looks like. That's the best I can do right now. People want me to put all kinds of stuff up on the site. I understand you're not pressuring me, okay? But people want me to put up all kinds of stuff up on the site. And there was a forum that, you know, until I took the site down, and you could have posted in the forum, hey, here's my research leads. And people can take that. People take stuff off the forum and repost it elsewhere. I know they do this.
Yeah. Okay. That's fair. I mean, it's a fair, you know, I understand. But it's just, I don't know. I think that we're fighting there, like you say, it's the provocateurs who are trying to break it up and make it be aliens or mind control. I mean, it is, you know, neuroscience and neurotechnology and cranial magnetic stimulations are a form of behavioral manipulation.
Yeah.
So it is a form of mind control. But I'm saying that when you use, or when that comes up, I notice that it just shuts everyone down, whether it's at a higher attorneys or whatever. But maybe the use of these type of more scientific words that everybody that is within those fields are aware of might put them on notice that we are on notice about what they're doing. That's all I'm saying. I'm not saying that you can prove it or anything, but by using those type of terms and being more prescient in using those terms, whether we're all targets, then it puts them on notice saying we are aware of the fact that you guys may be the ones who are doing these things to us.
Okay.
Use mind control without using a scientific term, then they're just going to brush us off like the alien believers. But if you use terms that apply to the science and technology that they're using, then it's putting them on notice to say, we do know. We are aware.
Okay, well, put together your thesis. Put together the best argument you can. All right?
Yeah.
So does the caller have your email address?
I believe he does.
I don't actually. What is it?
It's jeremy@speedpost.net. But yeah, so you know, put together a thesis. You know, you have to put together a cohesive thesis. You know, why you believe it's being used against you, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So do what you got to do. But I've got several people waiting to speak. So if you don't mind, I'm going to get to those people.
Okay, that's fine.
All right. All right, next up is Brett. Hello, Brett.
Am I on?
Yes, you are.
Hello?
Yes, you are. You are on.
Hi, Jeremy. I just wanted to tell you that your show was really positive and uplifting, and I mean, I'm glad you're going in a positive direction with this, you know?
Okay.
Hi, Tam, if she can hear me.
Hi, Brett.
I just wanted to say that, let's see, I had a good thought. you know how... how all of these people are feeding into this incredibly large machine, you know, with all of this energy. They're giving them energy with all of this, you know, with their anger and especially their emotions, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I think one thing to really look at, you know, is who we really are before all that, if possible, even if you're two, you know. And it's like... There's an energy that's not really a 3D energy inside of us. That's who we really are, you know.
Mm-hmm. You have to know yourself.
You have to know yourself, and there is no cure-all, you know. Each individual, you know, needs a different kind of solution to their problem, you know. And
yeah.
Unfortunately, the problem belongs to them now because they're older now. You know, we're not kids anymore.
Yes.
They're older now, and it is. They have the power to do this themselves, especially because they were trained to do so. They were specifically trained to do so.
Okay.
I know that's kind of wild, you know, but they have trained us to survive in many ways, you know.
That's definitely a good way to look at it. Yeah, it's a positive way to look at it.
Yeah, you know, and believe me, I don't want to make this a small thing. It's not. And there's a large number of us, you know, this has happened to them all their lives, and they can't explain it, you know.
Hmm.
They can't explain exactly who did what or where, and that would drive you crazy even to think about. And I'm thinking that, you know,
master yourself first.
Yes, exactly. I'm thinking, you know, forget about all that and giving them energy and perpetuating their evil machine, you know, that kidnaps children and uses CPS and, you know what I mean?
Okay.
That is going on, and what we should focus on if we're going to advocate that, or not advocate, but against it, is look at the realities of what is actually going on, and not focus on all the supernatural stuff that we've seen. You know, you know, not to focus so much on that in public. Let's say, you know, because it gives them energy, and it also puts the seed into other people's minds that have never even heard of this. And, you know, looking this stuff up and getting paranoid and having problems themselves, you know. So there's a great responsibility with that.
Yeah. We have to look inside ourselves first, and we have to avoid misleading framing or framing that makes us focus too much on what they're doing.
Yeah, exactly. You know, there's so much that we can do ourselves, and I know that sounds new agey and weird or whatever, but there's stuff that we can do with our own power inside, you know, with our own training, you know, our own special training to have been able to adapt to all of these nightmarish things that we've been through. You know what I mean? You know, and we tend to forget about that sometimes.
Yeah, so like we should take what we've gone through as a learning experience and kind of alter our behavior based on that experience.
Oh yes, absolutely. To you know, the cliche, learning from your past or whatnot, not learning from their indoctrinations, but learning from our actual past.
Yes. So. If you refuse to adapt, that can be a form of torture all by itself.
Oh yeah, that will keep somebody very sick for a long time. You know, and it's I've met so many people that say they're mentally ill. I'm on SSI. They've got me stigmatized, mentally ill on SSI and everything else. You know. And I'm telling you that there's, you know, what can I say? I can't prove it. I can't prove any of this. None of us can, really, except for some things. But I can't prove that I'm not crazy. How do you do that?
No, absolutely. Yeah.
You know?
Psychiatry is a profession that is extremely susceptible to abuse.
Oh, it's very abusive.
And something we might want to get involved with, which I've tried to recently, and I've been unsuccessful so far, but I haven't been a warrior in this effort like I normally would be if I weren't in such a bad place right now, personally, but is the anti-psychiatry movement. I think it's a very extremely important movement that all of us need to be involved in. It's a huge movement. Anti-psychiatry. So let's get involved with those people. Let's get involved with that. Don't bring all this wacko crazy talk into it and theories, but just your own real personal experience with psychiatrists. We need to get into the anti-psychiatrist movement. Those hospitals, those places that they're taking people to, they're worse than prison. It's worse than being put in prison.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So that's another place to focus your attention and your energy is in something that's going to matter, because that matters big time to a whole lot of people.
Yeah. The thing is, I think some TIs think of, when they're targeted, they're like in a matrix. And then when they get into a group like this one, they've escaped from it somehow. But they really haven't. Really, this is more like a holding pen than the Matrix. So when you break away from the established TI community, that's when you're in the real Matrix, because now you know what's going on, and you're aware of it. You're aware of this Matrix, and that's the real Matrix. This TI community stuff, it's a kiddie pool.
Oh yeah, yeah. One of the places that that they actually take people to to indoctrinate them and so forth is in Southern California. It's called Royal Medical Center, and it's in the back. The front of it looks like a nursing home.
Okay.
And it's you know, this place you drive around. If anybody goes there, they'd know how weird that is.
Well, and even when you speak about nursing homes, you can think about all these old people who, even in movies, these things are depicted as torture chambers. Just, you know, a place where you're tortured till you die. You're incarcerated, basically. And that's the same thing with mental institutions. People think, oh, they're getting help. But people are starting to wake up now to, no, this isn't help. This is something much different, because people with who don't have severe mental illness, where they should be tied up to a bed or whatever, put into a straitjacket, are being put into those situations, even though they really don't deserve it, because their mental illness doesn't exist, or it is not to that extreme where they're a danger to anyone.
Or it's a traumatic thing in their life, and they reacted to the traumatic thing, you know? Like for in my case or whatever, I had lost my kids, and I'd spent years homeless, you know, trying to find them, you know? And I found them, and, of course, lots of doors shut in my face and everything. And I wanted to kill myself. I didn't even want to live anymore without my kids, you know? And that's how I got in there, you know, for instance.
Right, which is a very normal reaction to, it really is. It's a very normal reaction to losing a child.
Yes, absolutely.
But it's looked on displeasing to society if you take out your human element.
Oh, yeah. That's exactly right.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm not going to go into any further stories, because I want to stay positive, because you're doing a great job doing that. You know, this is a positive thing we can do for ourselves, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Master yourself, then master the world.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Okay.
I'll definitely end on that note. Thank you, Jeremy, for all of what you're doing on your show. It's really cool.
All right. Thanks a lot, Brett. Thanks for calling in.
You're welcome. Bye.
Okay. All right. Got two more people holding up their hands. First of all, the Invisible Man from who knows where. Hello. You're on. This person's name isn't showing up in the chat. I have no idea who this is. Could be anyone.
Yeah, I've never seen that before.
Okay, well.
Aw, man, the invisible midget in an invisibility suit isn't going to talk.
They're also inaudible, so that's a problem. Okay, well, if that person wants to speak up again, just hit star 8. In the meantime, Carol, you're up.
Hi, Jeremy.
Hey, Carol.
I just want to say thank you for your site. And I think, you might not think so, but I think you put out a good product. And everybody else, they have their opinion. Okay, but I thought you put out a good product. I liked your billboard, too. And
okay, yeah, just remember, though, that wasn't technically my billboard. It was a billboard that referred to my site.
Yeah, well, you know
okay.
what? Okay, they had their thing going on, but see, it's business people, and they know how to get things done, but you had the product, you know, you created
yeah.
the thing in the first place, okay,
yeah.
and I think it was worthy, okay, and I'm just sorry for all the meow and everything that's going on. I don't understand it, but you take a sabbatical, okay, you take a break because you deserve a break, okay. And then you can come back with a static site as long as someone can find it on the internet. All the people trying to get educated. I'm out here trying to 101, targeting 101, you know, the basics for scratch head. And, I wonder what's going on. They can get on the internet and find as long as they can find RUTargeted.com, you can drop that forum stuff or that discussion stuff. You just express yourself, and people can like your opinion or not. This is supposed to be, used to be a free country. I know it's a fascist dictatorship now, but on the internet you can still express yourself. So, you know, if you want to, I know you don't have a lot of money. I tell you what, only suggestion I have for you is put you a donate button on your site, because Joe Blow and everybody else, Martin Rich and all these other people, homeless person, they got a donate button on their site.
Yeah.
There's
okay.
no shame in that. There's no shame in
that. I'm not saying there's shame in that, but the audience is small, and I can't ask the audience to shoulder the burden of the site, because it's not going to happen. That's just the way it is. And if I did something like charging for the site, I've already explained myself on that. I think it's coercive. I think that if you're coming to a group of people who have very few options, and you're telling them, I can save you, just give me some money, that's coercive. It's manipulative and it's coercive, and I can't do that.
Okay, well, I didn't hear you say that you could save me. I'm sorry, I didn't hear you say that. You see, people, we might only have a dime, give a penny. You know what I'm saying? It's no.
Okay.
I mean, some of us, we got a job. If we don't have a job, we're being mobbed on a job, or all we have now is SSI or whatever we have. You know, you give a kind word, you give something. So I know you read into it that it's coercive to people, but you know, a person can hit that button or not hit that button.
Oh yeah, well the donation button, yeah, I don't see that as coercive at all. If people want to, they can. It's not a bad idea in principle. I'm not opposed to that.
Okay. Well, I'm just saying, you know, I hope you just, you know,
depending on the audience, right? I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I just hope you archive, you know, what you feel. You know, should be on there, because
the research that I did, I've still got it. The thing is, you know, whatever I put up there, especially when it's a static site and I just want to explain to people what's going on, it has to be timeless. It has to be ageless. And especially if I'm not going to be putting much time into it. So I want to put it out there and then I want to forget about it. Until, you know, much later, if I ever get to come back to it. And if I talk about how to break out of the disinformation matrix, that's going to be information that's going to be valid 5 years from now. Whereas if I talk about, you know, the latest technology stuff, that gets out of date really fast. And, you know, there's another guy who came out with a book a few years ago. He'd already decided what the answers were, right? Just like this guy earlier, who decided that the answer was nanotechnology and brain implants. This guy came out with a book based on his idea. He already had the answer, and the answer was implantless mind control. And the name of that book is Controlling the Human Mind, and the author is Nick Begich. And as many of us know by now, that book has led many of us on wild goose chases. But you know, he did the research. He found weapon systems that or promises from or patents or statements from military agencies that seemed to correspond to all these things that you guys were complaining about. He did his research, and yet he came up with something that was misleading. And that's why I'm not really thrilled about I think you need to be versed with the latest technology, but you shouldn't. I would not feel comfortable focusing on it. Other people may feel differently, but I don't feel comfortable focusing on it, because there's only one way to be right, but there's lots of ways to be wrong.
Right. Okay. I understand that, because it could get old really quick. Or
yeah.
I understand that. You know, you have all your material there at home, and you've seen all the changes, you know, that you've gone through over time and everything. And even the mistakes you've made are valuable, because you learn from them, you know. And it's nothing to be, you know, that's nothing to be ashamed of. You learn from it, so. Well, you deserve a break, and I just want to say thank you for your site, and I'll just look and see what you put up there at the retargeted.com. Thank you so much.
Okay, thanks for calling in, Carol. Talk to you some other time, maybe. Okay, we've got someone from Georgia calling in. Hello, Georgia.
Hi, Jeremy.
Yes.
Hi, Jeremy. This is Shelina in Georgia.
Hello.
I have just heard about your site, and how do I get to it? What's the name of it?
Yeah, well, it's kind of crippled right now, but retargeted.com. That's the name of the site. And you actually spell out the words.
Okay.
retargeted.
Okay. Well, I've heard your call a couple of times. I think you're wonderful.
Thank you.
And God bless you, and thank you for all the work you've done for us.
All right. Yeah. One way or another, I think you'll be hearing from me again. Not necessarily from that site, though.
Great.
Thank you. Sure. And thank you for calling in.
Okay.
Okay. Anyone else? All right. It doesn't look like anyone else is raising their hand. If someone does want to speak out in the call, press *8 on your phone. And if nobody else has anything to say, I am going to... Oh, hello.
Hello?
Yes.
Oh, hello.
You're there.
Hi, Jeremy.
Yep.
This is from Los Angeles, and I want to...
Los Angeles, yes.
Hello?
Yes, I'm here.
Jeremy?
Yep.
Okay. I was just wondering if your site is still up. Are you targeted.com?
Well, it's still up, but it's kind of crippled right now. I'm going to be putting up some more information. Basically, I'm putting up summaries of what I talk about in the podcast, and I'm linking to those podcasts, maybe a little additional information, but for the foreseeable future, it's all going to be just basically one page.
That on.
And I think that's the way to go with a site that's going to be up there for a while, possibly a few years without even being changed, is to just try to make it simple, short, informative, and if at all possible, timeless.
Okay. I heard a little segment from George.
I'm sorry, what?
George.
You seem to be fading in and out. What were you saying? Sorry.
I heard he.
Whoever the caller is, they're cutting in and out to a level where we can't understand what you're saying.
George Murray, do you know what week or month?
Okay, I don't know if you heard that, but she's talking about Coast to Coast AM, George Murray, who
okay.
I spoke to 2 weeks ago, and I posted that on Facebook. I haven't put it on YouTube or anything, but I asked about near-death experience on his show. You can call in. It's incredibly easy to call in, especially if you call in through a Skype line. I think the Skype line is so new. It coast to coast, because they just implemented it about 3 months ago, that they're not very used to it. Even during some of the first broadcasts after the Skype line was piped in, you'd hear the little noises from Skype coming in, and they didn't know what they were until they got that figured out. But Skype is a good way to call into George Norrie, because it's very, very extremely new to them. But, yeah, try to call in and ask them questions and stuff, because they do touch on our issues. You're cutting way in and out, though.
I can hardly understand anything.
Okay, I'm sorry. Okay, I guess my phone line is being interfered with, so I'm sorry about that.
Yeah, well, I did pick that up. All right, well, thank you for calling in. And, yeah, we'll check out George Norrie's show, definitely.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. Anyone else? Star 8? Like I said, once people stop requesting before, I'm just going to terminate the recorded portion of this call. Okay, looks like nobody's raised their hand, so thanks for tuning in, and I'm sure I'll run into you guys some other time, but these calls are finished.